good to be in the house of the Lord on Christmas Sunday. And I want to say thank you to my friend, Pastor Ted, for allowing me this privilege on Christmas Sunday. Having been a pastor for many years myself, I understand what he's talking about when it comes to these special days. As a pastor, you want to preach. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity. God has a way of meeting our needs and blessing us, doesn't he? Sometimes I'm astonished at how God works. And I just want to share this with you a way of a testimony. My schedule for December and January had not been very good at all. And I've had a couple of Sundays off, and I had this Sunday with nothing scheduled. Yesterday, Pastor Ted called and asked if I could be here this morning. And while I was sitting there during worship, I got a text from another pastor to see if I could be at their place tonight. So how many know we serve a big God that just knows how to take care of us? And I share that with you to encourage those of you who are believing God, particularly in the area of provision, that it can come any way God chooses to do it. And I've learned in my life that when I figure out how he's going to do it, he's almost certainly going to do it another way. Amen. And so I appreciate the goodness of God, how he works in our life. During this season of the year, it seems to me that life can really become a complicated mess. Unfortunately, we have brought that upon ourselves, I think, largely, particularly in our society. Traffic increases, money decreases, tempers flare, some don't care. Silver bells have become bullet shells, parties galore and crowded stores, and on and on and on we go. And whatever happened to the Christmas spirit, I don't know. But all I know is it's a season of miracles. And that's what I want to share with you today. Encourage you. It's also quite interesting. I love it when God speaks to me. How many really like it when God speaks to you? And you know it. While I was sitting there before Pastor Ted got up, I heard the Lord say for you all, this is a year of increase and expansion. And then he gets up and talks about how this is a year of increase and expansion. So how many know that a word is confirmed in the mouth of two or more witnesses? And so I believe that this is a... How many believe for Life Changers Church that this is a year of increase and expansion? Amen. And I will agree with you. I have noticed that when I've parked here, that there are some times when you sort of have to thread the needle, as she said. And I believe... I just... see expansion. And I declare money cometh. Amen. I declare money cometh for your vision. I believe there is provision for the vision of this house, and it's coming, and get ready to see God move mightily in behalf of this congregation of believers. You have been faithful to sow seed, and now is your time for harvest. Hallelujah. This is a church that sows seed, and God's going to bless you. I see your ministry expanding all over the world. This young man going, your youth going to missions, but other people in this church going to other nations of the world, taking the gospel, more doors of opportunity opening for Apostle Ted to step into that role of apostle as he goes and helps establish the church and train people all over the world for the sake of the gospel. So it's a good season, amen. It's a good year. Luke, the first chapter. In fact, I'm going to read some selections from the first and second chapters of Luke, because it's just full of miracles, and I want us to understand the miraculous nature of this season. So let's look in Luke 1, beginning with the 5th verse. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children. I think it's so interesting. Here were these wonderful, righteous people that served God faithfully for many years. And then there's that little addendum, but they had no children. Seems obviously to me by reading that they wanted to have children. It was their heart's desire to have children, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Now, that term barren indicates historically, and I believe biblically, good sound Bible interpretation was not only that she had not had children, but that she was incapable of having children. Amen. As biologically, she was past childbearing age and biologically was incapable of having children. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as the priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go in the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And that we even sang a song, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Hallelujah. And then down in the 26th verse, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.' 'I'm the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you've said.' And then the angel left her." Then going over to the second chapter, beginning with the first verse, Luke 2:1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary. He was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Or glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Aren't you glad that unto us a child has been born, a Savior is born, and his name is Jesus? Now, this is a time for miracles. And we declare that this is a day for miracles. And this is a season of miracles. His birth was miraculous. I love the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, the birth of John. Elizabeth, incapable of childbearing, miraculously conceived. And I like the part where it says that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even at his birth. And isn't that an amazing thing? It is a miraculous thing. The forerunner who would bring his generation to repentance and lead the nation back to the Lord was going to be born miraculously. Mary, a virgin, the mother of God. It was biologically impossible, socially unacceptable, and spiritually questionable to all of mankind. And yet God said it would happen. I want to remind those of you who are believing God for a miracle in your life, whatever you have been told by the so-called experts, there is a higher authority, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Even in situations where it was scientifically, biologically, and every other realm impossible, God said it would be, and it was. And the same can hold true in your life because we serve a miracle-working God. A group of shepherds serenaded by an angelic host with a message of eternal consequence. I find that to be miraculous. Can you imagine what it must have been like for those shepherds to just be doing what shepherds do, out there in the hills of Judea, tending their flocks, and in the middle of the night they have an angelic visitation. Their life was changed dramatically. The shepherds were considered to be kind of the low lives of society in that day. They were nomadic. They just wandered from place to place. Wherever the grass was green, that's where they took their sheep. I remember years ago when I was pastoring in Manford, Oklahoma, we did a Christmas program, and I got to be the innkeeper. Now, we've always made the innkeeper out to be a bad guy, right? He's a bad guy because he stuck them out in the stable. Was it his fault that he had a sellout? He was a good bit. I mean, he sold all the rooms. And at least he gave them a place in the stable. But I remember I was the innkeeper, and I was supposed to be kind of a mean guy. And when the shepherds came, my word to them was, "You are the lowliest of lowlifes in the whole nation." I mean, that's been 30-something years ago, and I still remember that. "You're the lowliest lowlifes in the whole nation." Folks, I want to tell you, to those lowly, lowlifes of the whole nation, the angelic voice and the angelic being and the angelic host of heaven came to declare, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Aren't you glad that God showed up to those shepherds with a message that changed the world? Dozens of fulfilled prophecies concerning his birth, his lineage, his birthplace, his virgin birth. The wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Emmanuel, God with us, was born. Of all the names attributed to Jesus, I think over the years, perhaps the name Emmanuel has come to mean more to me than perhaps any other name that has been attributed to Jesus. Because it is true that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And I have learned that he's God with us in good times and he's God with us in bad times. And I've also learned that why the holiday season is a wonderful, joyous time for family, that for some people, this season of the year can be the most difficult. People that are facing situations and circumstances and heartache, perhaps they've lost a loved one in the past year and they'll be without them at this Christmas time. Or perhaps they're having physical problems, or maybe they're having financial situations. Some of you may be here today and you're struggling in this season. I have good news for you. Emmanuel's here today. God with us. In my lifetime, I went through some difficult seasons, but through it all, I learned that God was always with us. When I was a kid growing up, I made my way through school working in various food service settings. When I was at Evangel, I worked in the cafeteria. That would be why I might have known Ted, and Ted didn't know me. We both lived in Kraus. I was third south. I think he was third north. My memory's still pretty good. We just, yeah. But anyway, but I worked in food service. But before I went to Evangel, I worked in a hospital cafeteria or a hospital dietary department. Yes, I'm the guy you can blame for the terrible food. But anyway, it's really not too bad when you first prepare it. It's just getting it to the floor that took time. But I remember one Christmas when I took the trays to the patients. And usually the hospital population was not very large at Christmas time. The only people that were in the hospital during Christmas were people that just absolutely had to be. Anything that was elective, you know, they put off for a few days. So I delivered the trays. But on that particular Christmas, one of the trays that I delivered to a patient was especially challenging because I took Christmas dinner to my dad. My father had had a very serious automobile accident that almost took his life a few days before Christmas. So that day, I served Christmas dinner to my dad in the hospital. But as difficult as that was, I was reminded of the truth that Emmanuel, that God with us, was just as surely with us in that hospital as he was with us in our home. Aren't you glad he's Emmanuel, God with us? Not only do we notice his miraculous birth, but his miraculous being. He was, he is, and he always shall be a miracle-working God. We need to be reminded that from everlasting past to everlasting present to everlasting future, he is God and always shall be God, and nothing has changed that, and nothing ever will change that. As the pastor said today, he was and is fully God and fully man. When Jesus became man, he did not lay aside his deity. He continued to be God. Only now God came in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. The great Creator God is he, and by his Word he spoke this world into existence. Hallelujah. He is the great I am. Amen. You know, I was thinking about Jesus and his earthly ministry. And, you know, he had enemies almost from the very beginning of his ministry. But when Jesus really got into trouble with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day was when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." In other words, when he declared himself to be the I Am, that is when they said, "We got to get rid of this guy." Folks, I want to tell you, regardless of how hard they tried, even to the point of crucifying him on the cross, they could never take away the eternal existence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the great I Am. Amen? And we're so mindful of that today. At his birth, he was a miracle. As a young man, he confounded the learned people of society. I like that. You remember when he was 12 years old and he went to the temple and his parents went there to fulfill the law and do the things that they were supposed to do, and Jesus came up missing? Can you imagine what it was? You're on the journey, you know, you're out, and you get to talking to one another, and Joseph and Mary are visiting, you know, and there's a whole caravan of people perhaps, and they say, "Well, where's Jesus?" "Well, I thought you had him." Have y'all ever done that before? "You got the kids?" "Well, I thought you had the kids." "Well, we got to go back to truth. We got to find Jesus." And when they got back to the temple, Jesus was there having a discussion with the religious leaders of the day. And they, I don't know how many of them understood it, but they were talking to the one that they were talking about. Aren't you glad he's God? Always was, always shall be God. He was miraculous in everything he did. His ministry was a miracle-working ministry. He walked on water. He fed the multitudes. He healed the blind, the deaf, the lame. He set the captives free. He raised the dead. And above all else, his death, burial, and resurrection
is a constant reminder to us of the miracle-working nature of Jesus. For he was the lamb for sinners slain. I often wondered just how much Mary and Joseph even understood about this child that was born to them that day. I love the, you know, I love the great Christmas songs of the church, and thank you, Chris, for sharing some of those with us today. But there's a relatively new one that I've really learned and grown to love, and it's a song, "Mary, Did You Know?" I wonder if Mary really knew that her baby was destined for a cross. If she really understood that that little lamb that she laid in that manger that day was God's lamb. That from the moment of his birth, he was destined for a cross. But thank God, not only was he destined for a cross, but he was destined for an empty tomb. For he was and is and always shall be not only the Lamb of Calvary, but the Lord of glory, who by his sacrificial work on the cross covered and cleansed us from our sins, but by the power of his resurrection, he gave us blessed assurance that we too shall live forever and forever. Praise God for the miracle-working nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave, he gave us the confident assurance that we too shall rise to meet him someday. And then, after his resurrection, he walked with his disciples for 40 days, and one day he was out on the hillside teaching them, and he was gone. While they were there, in utter astonishment, Jesus ascended up into heaven, but the angel of the Lord came back with a good word. This same Jesus that you've seen go before you today shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go today. And I know some people say, well, that's not really going to happen. Folks, if you want to hang around, you go ahead. I'm going up. Amen. When he comes down, I'm going up. Amen. When the trumpet sounds, I'm out of here. How many believe he's gone to prepare a place for us? Some people say, well, it's not really a place. Well, then why did he say it was? Amen. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to that place that I'm preparing for you. So I just happen to believe that's if he said it, that's what's going to happen. Someday soon, folks, miracle of all miracles, we're out of here. Amen. At the rapture of the church, at the taking away of the church, I want to tell you, folks, that's going to be a miraculous day. We're just going to be. I've always thought Christmas would be a really good time for Jesus to come the second time, wouldn't it? I mean, at least a lot of people be thinking about Jesus. Different people have different ideas. One of the things I've always thought would really be neat would be to be at the graveside, you know, like as a pastor, as a minister, be at the graveside of one of the great saints of God, and you're doing the interment, you know, the Pastor Ted's this, you know, we've come here to lay Brother so-and-so, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and here we lay the body to rest, and also, and we're out of here, hallelujah, because the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive, we might as well just go from the cemetery, amen, praise God. Well, God's good, amen. Everything about Jesus and his miraculous being is real to us today. Finally, I want to talk about his miraculous blessing. In Ephesians, the first chapter, Paul talked about spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for certainly all of the temporal, financial, you know, daily blessings, but I'm also very mindful of the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful above all else that I'm saved because Jesus came. Aren't you glad for the wonderful gift of salvation? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I don't want to ever lose the wonder of what it means to be saved, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This last couple of weeks, I heard a testimony that just showed me how real salvation is.
I was at a gathering with, it was primarily just one family, and I was there as kind of a guest. And one of the little grandchildren, actually a great grandchild of the people that I knew, we were visiting. I don't know, somehow children kind of are drawn to me in some way. Maybe I have the grandfatherly appearance, I don't know. And although I don't have any grandchildren of my own, I adopt a bunch of them. And I was visiting with these three little sisters, and the oldest of the sisters, who was about seven, we were just talking, and she had been to Disney World, and we got to talking about Disney World, and I asked her what her favorite ride was, and we started singing It's a Small World After All. That's one of those songs you get in your mind, you can't get out, you know. So all night, you know, it's... and it couldn't get out. Anyway, she said to me, "What do you want for your main Christmas present?" I hadn't really thought about that, but here's a 7-year-old little girl. She's interested, so I just came up with something. I thought, well, I'm just going to think big. I'd like to have a new car. Some of y'all are looking at me, well, you're very self. Anybody here would probably take a new car. I mean, I'm not going to get one unless God miraculously provides, but I would take it. Amen. So, well, really why she was asking me that was because she wanted me to ask her. So I said to this little 7-year-old girl, what do you want for your main Christmas present? And she said, well, for my second thing, I would like to have a cowboy hat. But she said, for my main Christmas present, I want to be baptized. And all of a sudden, I realized that there's a little 7-year-old girl that gets it. Because she was from a very affluent family. And I assume if she could have said to her folks, I want whatever the latest electronic game was, or the nicest doll, or a pony. About anything she wanted, she probably could have had, because they're people of affluence. But here's a little girl that had accepted Christ as her Savior. And above all else, she just wanted to be baptized. And I think, God help us to understand that the greatest gift we've ever received was that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him wouldn't have to perish, but might have everlasting life. Hallelujah! Aren't you thankful for the Savior? I'm thankful for the miraculous blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been here enough for you all to know, and I've said it before, I'm Pentecostal and proud. I'm glad to be a full gospel Christian. I'm thankful for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad for the gifts of the Spirit. I saw these Christmas gifts over here, and some of the gifts are, and fruit of the Spirit are mentioned there. And I'm so grateful for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Aren't you glad for the power of Pentecost that changes lives today? I'm glad for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And isn't it interesting that two of the Christmas characters are involved in this statement? John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will indeed baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Thank God for the gift of His Spirit. I'm grateful for the miraculous blessing of His provision. I'm glad that Jesus came to provide for us. Paul said, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." According to the wonderful, marvelous, expansive, unbelievable, immeasurable riches of heaven, I'm going to get provision to you by Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that we serve a provider. And over the years, I've seen the provision of God, in particular at Christmas time. Even this weekend, I've experienced His provision. When I was in school in Springfield, the first semester that I was there, my wife and I had just gotten married the summer before. And
As is the case for a lot of college students that get married, we lived in what would best be described as near poverty. I've heard Jeff Foxworthy or they talk about they were so poor that they ate Kraft macaroni and cheese. And I thought we had store brand macaroni and cheese. You know, we couldn't afford Kraft. We got the $5 for $1 stuff. You know, anyway, we were struggling. And Christmas time came around, and I was raised in a family where Christmas was a celebration of the highest order. My mother was the queen of holidays. Any holiday came around, my mother was just into it, and especially Christmas. And one of the main events of our life was the Christmas tree. And now we did not go out in the woods and chop down our own tree, but we did go to a lot, and we always got a fresh tree. And we go to the lot, and it was a production to pick out the right tree, and invariably we would always get one too big for the house. So we'd have to cut it down to size to get it through the door, you know. Some of y'all are thinking, you know, of a certain Christmas movie. Anyway, Christmas vacation. Anyway, and we'd have to chop off the top and whittle it down and get it to fit in the stand and all that. And then it was decorating time. And my little sister and I, we liked to throw the icicles on the tree. But my older siblings wanted to, you know. And putting the bulbs on just perfectly. And we had this one Christmas ornament that was a golden cluster of grapes. And it was always my mother's job to put the grapes on the Christmas tree because she had inherited that ornament, I think, from her great-grandparents. That I think my brother probably, knowing him, probably stole it. Anyway, I think he's in possession of the grapes. To this day, and they're probably 100-plus years old, that Christmas ornament. So, and Mom, and so Christmas was a big deal. And here we were in school in Springfield, Missouri, and we didn't have a tree. We couldn't possibly have afforded a Christmas tree. One night, a week or so, probably a week to 10 days before Christmas, I was studying for finals. My wife was busy about house chores, and she took out the trash, and she came back into the house, and with sort of a look on her face, she signaled for me to come outside, and I went back to the dumpster at our apartment complex, and there by the dumpster was a Christmas tree on a stand, with the icicles still on it, in perfect shape. I don't know how it got there, but I know why it got there. For a loving Heavenly Father looked down from heaven to a young couple in Bible school to say, I love you enough that I'm going to see to it that you have a Christmas tree. And so we bought that little tree into the house, and we went to Skaggs and bought a couple of 99-cent boxes of ornaments, and we had the most beautiful Christmas tree you ever saw. Because it was special delivery from heaven. And God spoke to me and said, Son, I want you to remember from this day forward, I'm never going to forget you, and I am going to meet your needs. And He always has. Aren't you glad for His provision? I'm thankful for the miraculous blessing of His healing, whereby His stripes we are healed. There are people sitting in this room today who need a miracle of healing in your life, or someone in your loved ones or your family who needs a healing. I want to tell you, by His stripes we're healed, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe He still heals. A few weeks ago, I was at the Assembly of God Church in Cleveland, Oklahoma. And a lady came up to me and said, Brother Don, it's been 5 years. And I knew what she was talking about. For 5 years ago, I was at that church. And a lady came into service that night. We were in a revival, actually, a Sunday through Wednesday revival. And a lady came into to service that night in horrible condition. She was jaundiced, almost beyond recognition. Probably didn't weigh 80 pounds. She was dying of cancer. In fact, she was stage 4 cancer, and the doctors had sent her home to die. She came to church that night, and a word of the Lord came to her that healing was coming to her. We laid hands on her. And that night, Jesus healed her of cancer. And 5 years later, she's still cancer-free, glorifying our Savior, who's a healing Jesus. Aren't you glad we serve a healing Jesus? I believe there's a miracle in the house today. You see, the Bible says, where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now, some of you heard me say this. I love a translation that says, where two or more of you get together in my name, I'm right in the middle of you. And somehow when I hear in the midst, I think somewhere up in the rafters. But when I hear I'm right in the middle of you, I think somehow he's just taking one of the chairs. Imagine the one who was born the babe in Bethlehem, a Savior, Christ the Lord, said to his people, if you come together in my name, I will be right in the middle of you. I don't know how he does it. It's a miraculous concept, really, to think that today, all over the world, there are hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of congregations, hundreds of millions of people that are gathered together in his name. And somehow, miraculously, simultaneously, he's in the midst of all of us. Because he is God. And I believe he came to Life Changers Church in Claremore, Oklahoma today to take our complicated mess and make it a Christmas miracle. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today that you are a miracle-working God. We declare today that there's a miracle in the house. Lord, we know that as we've gathered together in your name today, there are people that need a miracle. People here today that need healing. People here today who need provision. People here today who need a breakthrough. People here today who need peace. People here today who are having struggles in their family. Some people here today having struggles in their relationships. And life has kind of become a mess to them. But Lord, you're here today. And you're here today, God, with a miracle. And I pray today, God, that the miracle working power of Jesus would be released in this house today. For we declare that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we read historically in your word the many miracles that you did. And we believe you can do it again because you are God after all. And I pray today, God, that there would be a release of the miraculous in this house. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed for a moment. I wonder how many here today, before we approach other miracles, if there's anyone here today, and you do not know Christ as the Savior and Lord of your life. Either you've never knew him, or maybe at one time you were walking with him, but you're not living for him today. You just need Jesus to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The greatest miracle of all is the transforming grace of God. And if we come into Christ, we become a new creature. I wonder if there's anybody here today say, I don't know Christ as Savior. I'm not living for Jesus today. But I want him to forgive me of my sins. I believe he came to save me. Would you please pray for me? I want to give my heart to Jesus today. Is there anyone here? I don't want to go on until we give this opportunity because it's so important. There may be somebody here today who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, and we want you to have that opportunity. I wonder how many here today, as you're here today as people of God,
But you need a miracle in your life. It might be a miracle of healing. It might be a miracle of provision. It might be a need for peace. But there's an area in your life where you just need the miracle working power of God to be released, and you'd like for us to agree in prayer for you. Would you just raise your hand today? You just need a miracle. You put your hands down. You know, it's interesting. There's probably more than half the congregation raised their hand. I remember one time I was in a church, and they were kind of the old tradition that took prayer requests from the floor, you know. The pastor had read a number of prayer requests, and then people in the church gave their requests, and it probably took 15, 20 minutes, and I was just overwhelmed. And God spoke to me and said, I'm not overwhelmed. He said, across the world today, there are millions of people with prayer requests, and I'm not overwhelmed at all. Isn't that good to know he's not overwhelmed by the fact that so many of us have needs today? Those of you that raised your hand, just would you just stand to your feet so we can agree with you in prayer for your miracle? Some of you just need a healing. I pray, when I think of my friend Pastor Ted, Apostle Ted, I believe that God's wanting to heal him of every disorder, particularly of his problems with his blood sugar. I believe God wants to touch him even in this holiday season. I believe there are others here today. Some of you, I've been in service with you enough to know that you have needs that have been ongoing. Some of you have faced some disappointment this year. But I believe that where two or more agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done. And we're agreeing with you today in the name of Jesus. I'd like for those of you who are still seated, look around you. And I want you to just find somebody right there as part of the body of Christ. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray together. We're going to believe. Would you just kind of move around, or you can just reach out your hand. And let's just pray one for another today. We're going to believe God for the miraculous, and we're going to trust Him today. God, we thank You today. God, I pray today for the healing virtue of Jesus. I pray today, God, in the name of Jesus, everything out of order, we call it into order in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would show Yourself strong in Pastor Ted, oh God, and Miss Jenny today, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, there have been these attacks against their bodies, God, in recent years and months. But I declare in the name of Jesus that You're going to grace them with Your presence. Grace them with Your touch. Grace them with Your healing virtue, Jesus, and meet every need for them. God, I pray today in the name of Jesus for people who have lack in their life today. Lord, You are our provider, Jehovah Jireh. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I believe You to show Yourself strong and bring provision to every home where there's lack today in the name of Jesus. God, ever how You choose to do it, I believe You'll do it. I know You can do it because You've done it for me. Lord, I thank You today, God, that You see there are people here today, God, that are concerned about maybe not having what they'd like to have for Christmas for their own kids. And I pray, God, that somehow, some way, You'd miraculously provide for them so that they could have a big Christmas like they'd really like to have. Oh, God, would You supply the need for them? God, for people here today that are in turmoil, God, there's family situations that are just tough. I pray in the name of Jesus that the peace of God that passes understanding, Prince of Peace, show up in their home, oh, God, and in their lives. We thank You, God, that this is a season of miracles. And I ask You and I believe You, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to touch and meet every need in the name that is above every name, the matchless name of Jesus. May it be done. Hallelujah and amen. Praise God. Brother Ted, God bless you. If anybody needs to...